Welcome to the Wheel With It podcast with your host, Devin. At Wheel With It, we are dedicated to exploring DEI issues in a fair, balanced, and fun way. Let's get into the episode.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Wheel With It. And guys, I can't believe I'm saying this. Sherry Gaughan, the inspiring principal of Whitney Elementary that we all fell in love with when we watched Ellen, is here on the podcast. I cannot believe she said yes to doing this. And she is just as amazing as you thought she was when you saw her on Ellen. So I won't give too much else away, but here's my conversation with Sherry Gaughan. Welcome to another episode of Wheel With It, and today I am so excited about our guest because if you were an Ellen fan like I was, you no doubt saw her. Sherry Gaughan, the former principal of Whitney Elementary School, is here with us today. I cannot believe I'm saying that. Sherry, how are you?
Hi, Devin. Thank you for having me. I'm very good, thank you.
So first of all, tell us about yourself, and then we'll go from there.
Wow. I don't know where to start. Right now, I'm basically a retired educator and I am a CASA. I'm a court-appointed special advocate for foster children. I was the principal of Whitney Elementary School for 17 years and had the distinct honor and pleasure of meeting some wonderful celebrities who helped enable my plight in helping children of poverty and children that are in need. And so I had this wonderful distinction of being able to be their voice, a voice for them, and then getting a lot of help along the way. And I don't know what else you want to know, but that's it in a nutshell.
So how did you, first of all, what made you want to get into education and all of that?
My mother likes to tell everyone that I told everyone since I was 2 years old that I wanted to be a teacher. And as I was growing up, I wasn't very good at school. I actually was learning disabled. I could not read. I was struggling with math. And we moved from the projects when I was 9 to a public school in the suburbs. And when we moved, they found that they did some testing and found that I had severe learning disabilities. And it was really through that time frame that I met some teachers that were helping me to learn how to read and really had a lot of confidence in me. So it just instilled that I need to be a teacher. And I went on to graduate with honors in high school and get some scholarships and to go out to college. And I never looked back. I just always wanted to be a teacher.
So tell us how you became involved with Whitney Elementary and being the principal there and all of that.
I did not want to be a principal. Sorry, my husband, who I met teaching, he was an educator, and we were both teaching at the same school, and he always pushed me to do bigger and better, even though my love was to stay in the classroom and be there. I just love the feeling of helping children. It just warmed my heart. So I didn't want to leave, but my husband felt that I would be a really good administrator. He got his master's in administration and felt that I needed to do that as well. So him and my girlfriend decided to sign me up for a cohort program in the University of Las Vegas, Nevada, and at UNLV. And lo and behold, I got accepted. I thought, okay, I'm just going to go to school. It doesn't hurt to get a master's. I'll get the master's. And then I'll just stay teaching. That didn't work out. The day after I graduated, I got a call. And in the district I was working at, they literally just call you up and say, we saw your resume. We saw you, your scores. You are now going to be at the school. So as an assistant principal, they called me up and told me I was going to be starting as an assistant principal. And I loved the principal. I was a little shocked. But I loved the principal I was working with. So the transition ended up being better than I thought. We got along. We were best friends. We were a great team. And then she put my name on a list to be promoted up to principal.
She voluntold you.
Exactly. How do you say no to your boss? But again, I would have just, I love teaching and where I was at. I loved working with her, and I would have stayed there and been her assistant forever. So I ended up, she put my name on this list. She thought it was time for me to be a principal. And she walks in my office and says, you have an interview tomorrow morning at 7:30. You need to be there. And I didn't know if I should hug her or cry or laugh or whatever. So I went. I thought I had nothing to lose. I really did not want to be a principal. So I went in and I basically told him I had to do it my way or don't pick me. And I explained what that looked like. And I got a call telling me to be at Whitney at 7:30 the next morning.
Oh, that's crazy.
So I went to Whitney.
I don't know if you were asked that on the show, but that's crazy.
People need
to hear that.
There's a documentary that was done on me the same actual week that they were at my school, the Ellen Show. They were filming a documentary on me as well. And if you look up the documentary, that story is in there, actually.
What's that called?
It's called Turning Point. If you Google Turning Point - Whitney Elementary, it's down there.
Okay. So how did you get to be involved with Ellen and get on her radar?
This is another funny story. Okay. So when I got to Whitney, we were actually one of the worst schools. When they interviewed me, they told me they used to publish in the Las Vegas paper, all the worst schools. They used to rank them. And Whitney was one of the worst. So no one ever wanted to pick Whitney to go work at. It was hard to hire teachers. It was hard to keep teachers. So I was told that. I was told that it's listed as one of the lowest performing schools and it needed a lot of help. So when I got there, I ended up literally physically cleaning the space, getting to know the teachers, getting to know the kids. I laid low. It was a hot mess. The school like just literally needed to be physically cleaned. It was dirty. It was run down. It needed painting. And I started doing all that. And as I did that, I got to know the teachers. The following year, some of the teachers came to me and said, we would like to go to your boss and say, we would like to write a letter to the newspaper saying that there's a new sheriff in town and things are improving and we're doing better now. And I said, no. Nope. And they were relentless. They kept coming to me for over a year. We want to tell them, we want to publicize how great we're doing. I said, no, if you do what you do with purpose and intent, you will shine. We don't have to go around. We're here for the kids. We're not here to tell everyone how great we are. We're here for the kids. We're not doing that. Here we go. We're moving along. Everything's great. I'm gaining trust with teachers. We're doing really well. There's a lot of things happening at Whitney. We've created a food pantry and a clothing closet. We're starting to help the community and we're getting a community base. And one of my teachers' husbands gets a job where I guess he knew Oprah's boyfriend. And so she comes walking in and she said, I have it. We're going to go and we're going to see if we can get you on Oprah. And I said, no. He said, again, if you do what you do with purpose and intent, you will shine. We don't need to do it because we want to shine. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do. All these things we're doing are the right thing to do. So I let it go. And look, what happened is slowly but surely people in the Las Vegas community started getting calls to do newspaper articles. They were interviewing me to be on the newspaper or local news just because businesses who I was soliciting were sharing what we were doing. I was getting my hairdresser to come and cut hair. And then of course, hairdressers have all these clients and then they were sharing with their other clients and word was getting out. So the newspaper came to me and said, can we do a story on you? And I said, no. I said the same thing over. If you do what you do with purpose and intent, you will shine. And I do not want, I said, but our kids, here's the hard part. The kids at Whitney didn't really know that they were homeless. So there were families living in cars. There were families living under the portables in the portable buildings on campus, but they still would tell me, they would literally stand in front of me and tell me they're not homeless. And I would try to get them to understand that they were, so just so I can get them resources. And they would like literally look me in the eye and say, we are not homeless. So I kept saying, how do you go on any media and say that you're helping homeless, because they don't even think they're homeless, and I would never hurt their hearts ever. So I told the reporter no. The reporter was a very famous reporter in Vegas. He was very well liked, very prestigious, and he was relentless, and he kept calling. Finally, I said, you can do a story, but you can only do it on me. So he comes to Whitney, and we're sitting down doing the story, and I start bawling because I realize the reason I feel so great and safe at Whitney, and the reason I feel so comfortable there, is because that was my story. These kids' stories were my story. And I start falling apart, bawling. He kept asking me questions, and he did this piece in the newspaper, this huge piece, and it was beautifully written, and it went viral. So then other papers called me and other news places called me, and I was getting all these calls. And so what I would do is I would talk about me and what we're doing at Whitney, but I would stay away from the kids. And then finally a reporter showed up one day and said, do you want to continue having a pantry? Do you want to continue feeding the kids? Do you want to continue paying rent and utilities and doing all these things you're doing? And I said, yes. And I said, but it costs a lot. And he said, then share their stories. You don't have to share their names or a lot of their details, but share their stories. So I thought a lot about
it. Yeah, because nothing will move the public like some kid.
Yes. Woo! And our kids, my counselor and I said it all the time. And actually, she said it best. She always said that the kids at Whitney, what they go through in one day, most people don't go through in a lifetime.
And yes, thank you.
If I share those stories, then I could get the means to continue this. So I did. Next thing I know, there's a Pew report being done. Every fall, there's a Pew report done on how many homeless there are in America. I'm getting my hair done at the hairdresser, and I get this call from CNN. And can you come talk to us about the homeless? And now they know a lot of what I did. But they knew that when they Googled homeless, because I had all those recent articles done, they saw Whitney Elementary and my name. And I said to my husband, by George, how come when you Google my name homeless, you should be able to Google my name and see funny or great principal or something, but you saw homeless. So they called me and they said, could you meet us at the school? We want to interview you and talk about these stats that coming out in the Pew report. I said, sure. I finished with my hair appointment. Thank God I had my hair appointment because I can look good. Went running over to the school, and it was actually very cold in Vegas that day. So I didn't have my keys to the building. I only had the keys to the clothing closet and to the food pantry. So I took them in there, and they said, what's this? What's going on here? So I started telling them. So they did the story, the piece on the Pew Report. They left. They called me up the following week and said, we would like to come back and shadow you for one whole week. So this was before Thanksgiving that year. They came and they shadowed me for a whole week. It hit the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and it blew, literally looked like Santa Claus bags of donations and money and cards and letters came pouring in when we Thanksgiving break. I started realizing at that point that reporter told me about sharing kids' stories was very important. So I was very grateful. I thought life was going to go on. I thought everything was great. We were going to use those funds to continue our movement towards helping these kiddos. And fast forward a couple months, I'm driving home and someone calls me and says, a girlfriend calls me and says, hey, did you know that you are on a Huffington Post? I said, what's a Huffington Post? And she says, and she sent me, she goes, I'm going to send you this link. You have to see it. You're on Huffington Post. All those news pieces I did, including the CNN, ended up making it on this huge article in Huffington Post, which I didn't know about. And what happened is one of the producers from the Ellen Show was watching and saw it. And so I was driving home one day and I get a call from the Ellen Show saying, hey, we heard about Whitney and we'd like to talk to you more. And then they came to Whitney.
So did you think it was a prank when they first called?
I was on the freeway and I didn't know what to make of it. I just knew that I shouldn't be driving because I couldn't process what was happening. And so I decided to pull over and finish the call. And they basically said that we just heard a lot about you. We don't know what your full story is, but we would like to find out. Can we come and talk to you? And I said, yes. And I hung up and lo and behold, they showed up. But my bosses thought it was a prank. So my bosses showed up at the door when they showed up and like kicked them out.
Because is hilarious. Oh my God.
And then when my bosses left, the producers were hiding around the corner. So then they turned around and came back. And then they shot like a little tidbit of what was going on, interviewing me and videoing some of the things I was doing to get ready for school. And they sent it back and Ellen saw it. And then the rest is history.
So did Ellen personally call you at any point before you were on the show or no?
Called me on the season premiere that I was on in 2011. She actually filmed it. It was filmed. So what they did is they told me that the
director. Oh yeah, where she gets off that old phone and is, oh, we still had the same phone after however many years. Okay, yes.
So the producers lured me to my secretary's desk and said that the director wanted to talk to me. And it was one of the directors from the show. So I get on the phone and it turned out to be Ellen. And then that is one of the pieces that aired on the season premiere of 2011, season 9.
So she said she finally, because I'm sure I don't remember it that well, but I'm sure she did like a whole spiel of pretending to be some like TV guy or whatever she does.
She didn't actually. She said, this is Ellen. And I said, no. And she said, yes. And I said, no. And she goes, what are you doing? And I said, I'm running the school. And she starts laughing. And she says, I've heard a lot about you. I'd like you to come to the show. And that was it. Yeah.
So what do you remember about that first appearance, if anything?
Oh, I remember every moment. I remember... First of all, my husband had to try to go get me to eat lunch beforehand because I was so nervous. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep.
That would be me because honestly, like I've heard some people say, I don't remember a thing about my first appearance. So
I remember every moment. And I just remember sitting there and it was very surreal. The feeling was outer body. I just felt very surreal. Every time I've been on the show, I feel very outer body that I can't believe this is happening to me. And one of the things that's amazing to me is I kept telling me when they asked me to be on the show, I kept telling them no, because I'm just doing my job. And how can you ask? It made no sense to have someone who's doing their job to come on a show. I said, that makes no sense to me. Like I'm doing my job. Why would you want someone who's doing their job on your show? There's such a disconnect. And finally, that was one of the directors did call me and say, but you do beyond your job. And to me, I was doing what I needed to do for the kids. It was nothing or extraordinary. It was just what needed to be done.
Doing what the government wouldn't do.
Yes. So when I got there, it was so surreal that someone wanted me because I was doing my job on the show. But they treated me phenomenal. My husband went with me. They treated us amazingly, just so kind, so loving. Everything was amazing. And then to be the voice for those kids and to be a voice of children who really can't speak on their own was such a huge honor and privilege. That became such a focus. Like I couldn't think of, for me, getting that word out was the most important thing in the whole wide world. And it superseded, it ended up superseding really meeting Ellen, so to speak, because at first, you can get caught up. I literally got caught up looking at her, those beautiful blue eyes. You can literally be standing there speechless. But so, I had a mission.
After that first appearance, were you shocked by how much love Whitney got?
Yes. I have been on documentaries. I have done news pieces and documentaries in almost every country in the world now, actually. And that sort of floored me. And part of it was because I think what shocked me more than anything is that, so when I got to Whitney and I saw these kids that needed help and I just went to work helping them, I just did it. I didn't even think, I just did it. And then when I was on Ellen, two things happened. I realized that I was the voice for these kids and that I could sustain now. I could finally sustain everything we've been doing. But the other thing that really hit me is all the principals and all the superintendents who wrote me from all over the world and told me that they've been trying to do what I did, but they were told no. And they couldn't do it. And now I'm the voice. And so I think
crazy to me that any superintendent or higher up ever would say no to that. That's just basic. Are you kidding me?
Well, I was told no a lot. I was told chronically and constantly, that's not my job. My job was to teach the kids to read and write and to raise test scores. And it was not to feed and clothe them.
That's crazy because food and clothing kind of contribute to test scores.
Right.
Yeah. But that's crazy to me that they would say no because that is what contributes to higher test scores. If you have food in your belly and a safe place to sleep, like studies have shown that. And
it was in my
goal, we need a study to show that.
Yes, exactly. And my goal was originally to keep the kids there, make sure that they stay. Sorry, my dog just crunched up on my lap. But the goal for me was to make sure that if I took care of their needs, then the parents could be parents. If I could take something off their plate, the parents could be parents. The kids could be kids. They can learn. And then you're right. You're exactly right. Then test scores would raise.
So how much did test scores raise after you?
They went up pretty substantial. The problem that we had is we were keeping our transiency went down. And then.
Transiency? I'm sorry.
Transiency is how much the kids move from school to school, from place to place.
Okay.
And so we had most of our kids. Literally would go to, we had 95% of our kids would show up at Whitney and by the next week or day, they weren't there any longer because many of them were homeless. So most of them were homeless. So what happened is most of them didn't stay. And that was my purpose of feeding them and clothing them and helping to pay rent and utilities is that if I can pay those bills and feed them and take the burden of that off, then they can stay at Whitney and they wouldn't be moving around. So that was the first goal and we did meet it. We brought it down lower than the district's transiency rate, which was under 30%.
Yo.
Yeah.
Almost like it worked.
It did. And then the next goal was to raise test scores. However, the formula for meeting the mark kept changing. So when we looked at the kids that actually were staying at Whitney, and then we compared them to other kids in the district and nationally, they were outscoring those kids in the district and in the nation. If we got them when we kept them, they were actually outscoring everyone else in the district.
That is amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We're very proud of that.
So tell me about Justin Bieber. I have to know because he's another one I've heard mixed reviews about. And tell me about that whole thing.
During the year, so when I got in Ellen, so the very first show, she whispers, "You're part of the family, Sherry." And as I was walking off stage, I kept thinking, I'm part of the family, like that. And she said, we'll see you again. And I'm thinking that was lovely to say, and I'm glad she said it. And I'm like, believe me, I'm glad she said it. But if it never happened, the fact that I had the experience I had was amazing. And I would have it for a lifetime. But she meant it. And I was on the show every month, that entire season 9. If you look, every single month I was on. And
that is, I was like, I want to book appointment television for me. And I didn't even realize that you just said that. That is crazy. Amazing.
In October, she did a piece with me at Target. And then in November, she came to the school and told me that we were going to get a new library. And then in December, Justin Bieber came and did an acoustic for his music CD and gave all the kids music CDs. And he walked around the school. And let me tell you, I raised two boys and I love Justin. I love him. He was so kind, so sweet. He had tears in his eyes hearing about the kids' stories. He literally walked into this one classroom and was high-fiving the kids and playing around with them. And he gave this one little boy a gold necklace and he took it off him and put it on the child.
Oh, that's amazing.
But in the area that my school was in, that child literally would have been killed for that. So I had to have Justin take it back. And he gave the child something else that was a little bit less, but it had to be because that area is a tough neighborhood. Lots of homelessness, lots of gangs, lots of roughness that goes on. And I didn't want to put that child's life in danger, but he literally made personal connections with the kids, with me. And then he came back a couple years later and then he dispersed food. And so that year he gave everyone Christmas presents and he did a little concert. Then a couple of years later, he came back and he brought food and he dispersed food and gave us a check for more food.
That's amazing. That is so sweet of him. So I know he's made mistakes, but he seemed so sweet too. Like, he's awesome.
And I kept thinking, I raised two boys and my boys weren't far off from his age. And if you put any child or any person in the scenario where you're now being watched 24/7 by paparazzi and the media.
Of course. I get nervous with this podcast because everything you say is on a hot mic and social media and people can, it's ridiculous.
That's right. Given the context, but everything he's done for Whitney, everything he's done for me, he's shown nothing but kindness and love. And he was amazing. It was a wonderful experience. And the kids, oh my gosh, just watching the kids and their faces and seeing Justin Bieber on stage. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. Amazing.
What is your favorite memory from all of that?
From by being a principal or the Ellen Show?
Both.
I think my favorite, it's not one particular memory. I think my favorite memories are all, I'm welling up. They all involve the families and how grateful they have been for the help. I'll tell you one particular story that sticks out. I had this dad who spoke very broken English and this mom, and they had been taking English speaking classes at our school and also parenting classes. And if we fed the kids, then we asked them to pay it forward. And by paying it forward, they had to just come and help in the clothing closet or the food pantry or help in the classroom or in the office or something. And these parents did. And one day I pulled up to school and they had, I think, 6 kids. And I pulled up to school and I saw this gentleman and he was sweeping. And I recognized him as one of the I recognized him from the English speaking classes we had at our school, but I kept thinking, why is he here? I had this disconnect. And I finally went up to him and I said, did we hire you? Maybe I just didn't know. I don't know. So he goes, no, Miss Gunn, no. He said, you help me and I will help you until.
That is.
I know, I'm getting tears in my eyes. Every day he was there, every day. And he would sweep the halls and he would sweep the front of school and he would be out there before the building even opened.
That is incredible. Okay, I cannot think of a better way to end this. Is there anything you want to add before we get off here?
I just think that I'm hoping that the legacy, then the story that I had, I feel very fortunate to be on Ellen, and I feel very fortunate to meet Justin Bieber and Michelle Obama and to meet the people I've met. But I think what really drove me my entire career, and it still does being a CASA, is that my favorite quote, I'll end with this, that children are not the distraction from I have cloudy eyes and I'm from crime. So let me say that again. The children are not the distraction from the most important work. They are the most important work.
That is mic drop. Thank you for coming on. You are a gem of a human being. I had to say that. And anything you need, we're here. We're not Ellen. We're not Michelle Obama, but we are here. So feel free. You're welcome back anytime. And we'll see you guys next episode.
You are the gem. And thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Isn't she just the best? She was as every bit as nice as you thought her to be when she was on Ellen. Oh my gosh. We will be taking next week off, but we have an amazing episode coming for you guys the week after next. So I can't wait for you guys to hear that one. And there might be a huge announcement coming soon. So please stay tuned on my socials. And if the announcement works out, I will blast it out to y'all. I say might be, not to be manipulative, but it may not work out. So I don't want to announce anything till I'm confirmed for sure. But we have some amazing things planned for you guys, and we will see you guys the week after next, and have a great 4th of July, and peace out.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to follow the show and our guests on social media and subscribe to the show on YouTube or in your favorite podcast app using the links in the show notes. If you're listening on the podcast app, please remember to rate and review us.